Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is podcast number 239 for February 28th, 2010. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. And thank you for stopping by the Home Base Travel Agent Show. The music you're listening to is the song Okra and Tomatoes. The artist is John Ellis and Double Wide from the album Puppet Mischief. You can find a link to this music in my show notes at www.hometravelagent.net. Well, once again, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you on board for the Home Base Travel Agent Show. And you know, we're all about the travel business here at the Home Base Travel Agent Show. And this is, actually, we're working into the sixth year of this show. You know, show number 239. It was back in February 23rd, 2005, when I produced this first show. I believe that's the date. And we've been doing a weekly show ever since. So this is the end of the fifth year, working into the sixth year of the Home Base Travel Agent Show. And it's good to talk a little bit about the reason the show started. You know, back in February of 2005, podcasting was very new. Actually, it took off, I think it was about September, October of 2004, when some of the first podcasts were produced. Early on, I was interested in podcasting. And at the same time, I was starting a travel agent business at home. And I thought, why not talk about the experience as I experience creating a home-based travel agent business? And why not talk about that as we go along? And that's how the show started. And then later in 2005, I think it was in September, after Lorraine Romero emailed me a couple of times about the show, I asked her to come on and become the co-host of the show. And she's been with me ever since, and we've been doing this show for 5 years, as I've said, show number 239. So we've produced 239 shows about the travel business. And if you've been with me from the beginning, if you've been with Lorraine and I from the beginning, you know, that's a long haul, and I really appreciate it, and I want to say thank you for being a fan of the show for that long, being a part of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show family. I really appreciate it. So as we go into our sixth year, we have an interesting co-hosted segment coming up. It's a little different. The topic is a little different than what we'd normally deal with, but quite interesting, and I think you'll find it enjoyable. But before we get into the co-hosted segment, I do want to talk a little bit about our sponsor. And this is the only sponsor the show has, the only paying sponsor the show has. And actually, it's not a great deal of money. It may pay the server expense for the show. And I don't even think it does that. But anyhow, it's a great sponsor, and we enjoy having them because I use the product, and I find the product to be very useful in my day job business. So I think you'll find it useful too. And you know, if you picture yourself on the phone with a client or maybe even a colleague trying to explain something visual, you know, something like a PowerPoint presentation, a website, and you know it's frustrating that they can't see what you're talking about. You know, it's hard to explain something like a PowerPoint presentation. So the good news is that you can invite them to an online meeting using GoToMeeting. They can see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So you can show them what you're talking about. And you can use GoToMeeting all the time to collaborate with clients and colleagues. Now you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must first visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. And that's GoToMeeting.com again, /podcast for a free 30-day trial. And check it out. And once again, thank you to the Citrix Corporation for being a sponsor of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And you know, I may post this show a little early, so you may see it come out on Saturday, because what's happening, Saturday afternoon late, I am flying off to Florida, getting out of this Michigan winter weather for a few days, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. Now, I have looked at the Florida weather, and the temperatures aren't that great, but I don't care. They don't have snow on the ground. I don't have to walk like a duck, afraid that I'm going to fall over or slide and slip or whatever. I can get by in 60-degree weather. I can get by with a t-shirt actually coming from the cold climates here in Michigan. So I'm looking forward to getting away and returning later in the week back to the climate. But hopefully, you know, spring's on the way. We're into March. We're going to be into March. You know, I can tell when the sun comes out, there's a lot of energy in that sun, and the snow doesn't last very long here once the sun comes out. But that's the trick. We have to get the sun out here once in a while now. So with that, I think I want to get into the co-hosted segment. Stand by, listen for something a little bit different here, and I hope you enjoy it. Drop me an email and let me know what you think. You can email me at barry@hometravelagent.net. So here we go, co-hosted segment. Welcome, everybody, to the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. This is the co-hosted segment of the show, and we have a very interesting topic coming up here on the co-hosted segment, and an interesting guest that's going to tell us all about it, and it's nothing like we've ever done before, so I think you'll really enjoy it, and I'm going to let Laureen introduce our guest.
Thank you, Barry. Great to be on the show, and just before we hit the record button, Barry had mentioned we've been doing this together for 5 years, and that's Barry, that's a really long time for you to be doing all the producing and the editing, and I just want to thank you for doing that, because I know I just have the little part of bringing guests on, as we have today, and that's the easy part. You get all the hard part of being able to kind of squish everything together so that we sound good. So I just wanted to thank you for all your hard work.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you for mentioning it.
I would like to introduce our guest today. I had the pleasure of meeting Lynn Lee Smith at the Luxury Expo in December, which was a very great expo down in Las Vegas last year, and I hope people start signing up early to be able to go to the 2010 one, which will again be in Las Vegas at the end of the year. She had one of the most interesting things that I will remember at that expo, because I went up and talked to her a couple of times, and she carried around a roo with her. It was so cute. It was alive. She gets to work with live little beings, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. She is the animal handler and trainer. She's a wildlife educator at a company called Roos and More, which I would like to turn the mic over to Lynn Lee to be able to talk a little bit about their program, what they have to offer, and she knows that our listeners are travel agents. I'm going to address that area just a little bit. Lynn Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm really glad that we made such a lasting impact on you at Luxury Travel, and I think that happens with what we do on a very regular basis. We have a small zoo out here in Moapa, Nevada, which is about an hour north of Las Vegas, between here and Mesquite. We have over 170 animals here, ranging everywhere from guinea pigs to camels, as far as size goes. A couple of our stars are Keiko, our capuchin monkey, and Snork, our Asian small-clawed otter, and then, of course, we have the kangaroo joeys. And we almost always have a joey here. We have over 30 adult roos, so usually that means there's no shortage of joey going around. So it's definitely a really cool thing that I get to do with those animals, and then I get to share them with the public, which is really just the coolest part. I really truly believe that if people have a close, up close and personal interaction with an animal, that they will care more about that animal in the wild, where it's from, what it's about. Even the people who live near that animal, they might perk up when they hear something about it on the news or anywhere else. So I really think that it's important for people to have that type of experience. As you said, you're going to remember it for the rest of your life. So we've done our job with you. But we do a variety of different things out here. We're open to the public a couple days a week, where the people can just come out. They get to kiss an otter. They get to meet a monkey. They get to go in the pen with the kangaroos. They get to pet a porcupine and feed camels and zebras, stuff that a lot of people don't really get to do very often. And I get to be a part of it every day. Ha 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 ha. But we also do a lot of other events. So we do private tours during the week. We can schedule those for anyone, and sometimes on the weekends as well. We take our animals to schools, do school programs. We also do some work with autistic children, also blind children and adults. And we have a couple different special needs groups that we work with that way. In addition to that, we do movie and TV work. And actually, the reason why we were at the Luxury Travel Expo is AAT Kings was, you know, promoting their packages, and what better way to draw people in than with, you know, kangaroos. And I think a lot of people forget about kangaroos and live animals in general when they're talking about ideas for marketing, but we also did an event at the PGA President's Cup Tour where we brought our Joeys there. They were promoting the 2011 Cup, which will be in Melbourne, Australia, and they really wanted to get people's attention and get people really thinking about taking that trip to Melbourne and maybe to see the Cup, maybe not, maybe just because they want to go to Melbourne. People were like, oh yeah, I got Tiger Woods' autograph today and I held a baby kangaroo. You know, I mean, we were right up there on the, you know, the cool stuff to do while you're there. So I really think that it's an important tool to think about. There's companies similar to ours all over the United States. So it's a really amazing way, you know, I don't know, maybe you want to host a party for your clients. They can come in, they can meet whatever animal from whatever destination that you're promoting at that time, and, you know, really get an idea of what they might see if they go there. And actually, a lot of people go to Australia and never meet a kangaroo, so it's sometimes even, you know, more than they would see if they go there, which is kind of neat. And then it's also, a lot of people don't know that we exist out here in Las Vegas. We're an hour north of Las Vegas. There's not a lot of kid-friendly things to do in Las Vegas. So, but families do come here and they seek us out for something to do that's an alternative to the Strip. So it's also a great destination to tell your clients about as well. So I love what I do every day, and I love to share it with as many people as I can. So I hope this is an avenue to, you know, to tell more people about all the cool animals that they can meet here.
That is actually, yes, and the point that you make about, you know, Las Vegas is not necessarily the most kid-friendly destination, but this definitely is a big draw. What brought you into it? Being an animal handler is kind of an unusual draw. What is it about that job that made you go there?
Well, I personally think I was born wanting to do this. I told my parents when I was 5 that I wanted to be a primatologist. They had to look it up in the dictionary. They didn't know where I learned the word, but they knew after they looked it up that I wanted to study monkeys. And while that maybe particular goal has changed a little bit over the years, I ended up going to a school in California that has a zoo on campus. It's called America's Teaching Zoo, where I networked with a lot of different facilities and learned about all the different careers out there. I took a job here in Las Vegas working for the MGM Grand's Lion Habitat, and kind of when the whole MGM finances sort of started to fall apart, it looked like I wasn't going to have a job anymore. So I started searching, and I found Valerie, who owns the place. We are veterinarian-owned and operated, which is really rare in the zoo world. And I found Valerie, and she is just the most warm, friendly, amazing person that I've met in my life. And she does things with animals that are just unheard of, you know. I mean, otters aren't typically supposed to be a cuddly animal, and you know, we have one that anyone can pick up, and he likes French kissing. So she does things with these animals that no one else can do, and she's so passionate about it. Just to hear her talk about the animals, it's just really exciting. And when the day I came out to meet her, I just was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And it's kind of the rest is history.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. How do the animals end up in your facility?
Well, we get our animals from all sorts of different places. Sometimes we're a member of the Zoological Association of America, which is the ZAA. So that's a network of zoos that are a little more hands-on with their animals than your typical facility. So a lot of times we'll get animals from within the AZ or from the within the ZAA, excuse me. And then we also do some rescues. All of our emus were rescued. We have some llamas that were rescued. We have some kangaroos that were rescued, some tortoises. A lot of our animals come from people who think, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have this cute little baby tortoise? And then they find out that that tortoise is going to grow up to be the third largest tortoise in the world at 150 pounds. Hmm. And they go, maybe I don't want that anymore. And then sometimes we actually purchase our animals as babies from breeders. We're pretty selective about who those breeders are. But we do get some of our animals that way just due to the nature of, you know, I mean, we take people in the cage, we bring the animals out. We really need to make sure they're acclimated to that sort of environment. So we spend a lot of time bottle raising them and socializing them as babies, and that seems to make for a successful pair between us and the animal when they're full grown.
Now, are there particular animals that are much more popular with guests who are coming to your place?
The monkey is our star, is the star of the show. There's no doubt about it. She is a year and a half old. She's a capuchin. She spends maybe 3 hours a day in a cage, so she's not your typical zoo monkey. She actually runs free on the property when we're cleaning or working outside. She kind of does what she wants, hops around, checks everybody out. She'll come down, she'll say hi. She gives what we call monkey massages, where she jumps on your shoulders, wraps her arms around your head, and then just massages your hair and your head and chirps and gives you all sorts of love. And, you know, that is definitely, you know, most people say, oh, a monkey, it flings poo, you know? I mean, that's what you hear about monkeys. They get a bad rap. And Keiko just kind of breaks those stereotypes and is, I mean, sure, she's mischievous. She's dyed herself blue, green, and blue again with food coloring, and her favorite game is to knock things over. But she really is a really neat animal to be around and definitely one of our favorites here.
Sounds fun. Definitely an adolescent that will probably never be growing up.
Yes.
Barry, do you have some questions for Lindley?
You know, I can't help but ask here. You're a professional animal handler, and the tragedy down at SeaWorld, what do you think happened there?
I think that the trainer could probably tell us exactly what happened if she was able to. I know that SeaWorld is very careful as far as their rules, regulations of working with their whales. None of us in this industry have any, you know, I guess, false ideas about what we're doing. We know we're working with wild animals. We know they have the potential to hurt us. We know how they have the potential to kill us in some cases. But for us, that risk is worth the trade-off. And it's a really educated risk. I couldn't comment on what actually happened there, but I do know that she probably knows exactly what happened, and that, you know, if only we could ask her. But I really believe, too, if we were able to talk to her, she would tell us that she wouldn't do a thing different, that she wouldn't give up those times of, you know, spending with those animals just because that was going to be the outcome. I mean, we love every minute of our lives and love the animals that we work with. So I just really think that it's just the choice that we make, and it's a part of the job. You know, I mean, there's iron workers who die every day and firefighters and policemen and they still, you know, we still love our job. So I don't really think that it's very different than most of the careers, but it's a choice you make.
Interesting answer, comparing it to firefighters and policemen. You know, I never thought of it that way, but that's very appropriate. And, you know, people do love what they do and are willing to take the risks, like you say.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to thank you again, Lynn Lee, for being on the show. It definitely, what I sensed from you, meeting you as you were walking around, that you love your job. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that this is a perfect fit for you, and it's wonderful to see that you are an educator and an animal handler, and it's full of love and compassion. And I want to thank you again for coming on the show. Could you give us your website so that people can get a little bit more information about your program and how to maybe they can send their clients to come and learn more and just get themselves educated so they understand, wow, these little beings really have a soul and a spirit, and be able to connect with them?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us on the web at www.roosandmore.org. That's roosandmore.org. You can give us a call at 702-467-3585, or you can email us at friends@roosandmore.org. And we'd love to answer any questions that you have, and we really, you know, we want as many people to know about these animals as we can, and we want them to love them as much as we do, which isn't hard.
Great. Thank you again. Barry, if people would like to reach you, what's a good email address for you?
Well, they can reach me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And Laureen?
I can be reached at sharptongued@mac.com, and that's spelled S-H-A-R-P-T-O-N-G-U-E-D at mac.com. Or you can also look me up on Facebook or Twitter at Laureen R, and that's L-O-R-E-N-E-R, and that will do it. Thank you again, Lynn Lee. Thank you, Barry, and hope to chat with you next week.
Yeah, thank you,
Laureen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn Lee.
Thank you.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you, Lynn Lee, and thank you, Laureen, for a co-hosted segment, a great, interesting topic. And I can't wait someday to get out, drive an hour north of Las Vegas. You know, it seems like I get to Las Vegas a couple times a year. And that would be a nice trip to go up and visit the zoo up there and maybe even meet Lynn Lee in person. Well, here we have, coming to the close of the show, we have a couple of news items that I'd like to talk about. And one of the news items here is reported in CNN.com in their travel section on their website. An interesting article about airport satisfaction, and they list the airports where people rate as the most satisfying airport experience. And when I looked at this article, I didn't expect to see who is at the top of the list. I didn't expect to see this airport at the top of the list. But let me read off a few of the airports and where they come on this list. I won't read them all, because they have 17 of them here easily listed, and you can go to the article. I'll have a link in the show notes, and you can click on that and go and read the whole article if you're interested in learning more about it. But the survey was conducted by J.D. Power & Associates, so it's a professional survey company that did this, and they surveyed more than 12,000 people who took a round-trip flight between January and December of 2009. Now, I'm going to read off some of the airports that I'm familiar with. And number 12 comes in at O'Hare. O'Hare Airport in Chicago ranked number 12 on this J.D. Power Associates survey. Hartsfield-Jackson at Atlanta rated number 9 in the survey. Number 3, and I'm going to be flying into this airport tomorrow, number 3 is Orlando International. And now, the number 1 airport. Who do you think it might be? Well, the number 1 airport is Detroit Metropolitan Airport. And I guess I can see why. I haven't been to Detroit Airport in a couple of years, but the last time I was there, they have a brand new terminal, and that terminal is excellent. Very nice, a lot of nice shops. It's easy to get around in, and the people are friendly. And I can see why that Detroit Metro received the number 1 spot. It was a surprise to me, but as I think about it, I think they deserve it. So go Detroit. Of course, I'm a little biased. You know, I'm a Michigander here. And the next article is on a website called canoe.ca. It's a Canadian website, and you can find it at www.canoe.ca. And this article is in their travel news. And again, I'll have a link to the article in the show notes. Now, the gist of the article is that right now, we're able to get great prices on cruises. You know, cruise ships are struggling to keep their cabins full. And as a result, they're dropping the prices to get people on board. But this article, and it's by the QMI agency, they're speculating that those low prices are soon to go away. And they expect that in 2011, the pricing will start to rise because there's pent-up demand by consumers for vacations and cruises. So there'll be more and more people booking in 2011, which will drive the prices up. So if you want to take a look at the whole article and learn a little bit more about this, check out the link in the show notes. Okay, that's the travel news for this week, and we hope to see you all next week. Laureen and I have made some plans for getting the podcast up and posted next week, and we're looking at a potential guest, but we have plan B if our guest is not able to join us next weekend. So we will be back, and I will come back from Miami, and we're going to head down to Miami, stay in the Epic Hotel in downtown Miami, and I look forward to that. It's a Kempton Hotel, and as you know, I like the Kempton chain of hotels, and I hope to go down there, spend a little bit of pool time. May not be warm enough for the outdoor pool, but they do have an indoor pool, and do a little relaxing, and I'm looking forward to that. So with that, hey, we'll see you next week. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the trip to Florida at that time. But until then, you guys travel safe and stay healthy out there, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye now. We'll be right back.